Hey cousin, welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to provide foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. This episode is sponsored by my black cat, Grace Jones. Let me read you this ad copy that she wrote. It says, purr purr, meow, meow. If I had to translate that, Grace said, don't forget to subscribe wherever you are listening. Every 5-star review gets me a treat. And if you touch my paws one more time, human, we gonna scrap. Thank you for that wonderful ad copy, Grace. In this episode, we are going to talk about the lucky bone or the black cat bone or the lucky black cat bone or the cat bone. You might hear it or read it in many different ways, but all of them are just black cat bones. As we speak, my black cat, Grace Jones, is laying her fat ass on my feet because I've said her name no less than 4 times. So clearly I have summoned her for mealtime and ear scratches. And as her beautiful but eerie yellow eyes stare up at me with that cute little cat indifference, I am reminded that this episode needs a disclaimer. Doesn't it need a disclaimer, Gracie? Yes, it does. Though I'm telling you the lore around the black cat bone, I in no way endorse the methods of procurement that will be described. If you find a black cat in the wild, Coco says, give it some water and some snacks, give it some love, and then leave it alone. Or take it home if it wants to go home with you. The black cat bone is a powerful hoodoo fetish. Fetish. What do I mean? A fetish is a ritual or occult object that is believed to have extraordinary magical power, okay? And there are few in hoodoo as powerful and as rare as the black cat bone. Powerful because it's said to allow you to walk invisible, or maybe I should say walk unseen. And it's also able to give you, quote, the luck of the world, right? Rare because to get one, you have to be agile enough to catch a cat and sadistic enough to boil it alive. Nowadays, if you are lucky, your mentor or elder will pass one down to you and teach you its wonders. But alas, a lot of us are modern hoodoos who are free learning. We are of the culture, but not necessarily working roots in a traditional capacity. And although I honestly believe that there is nothing wrong with riding that wave of modern hoodoo practice, like making your own Florida water, sprinkling a little black salt if that's your jam, or even building your own formulas for your personal work, which I tend to do. I do believe that the core tenets and traditions of the practice must stay traditional or else it loses all meaning. So if you want to walk invisible, if you want the, quote, luck of the world, and you want to do it with the black cat bone, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. Okay, the old-fashioned way. So what steps do you take to procure the black cat bone, assuming that it's not been passed down to you? Well, you catch a black cat, pure black. No tuxedo cats. It has to be a pure black cat, not a gray cat, a black cat. Then you boil it alive and you find the lucky bone. Now, for as many hoodoo practitioners who have completed this task, there are as many nuanced approaches. Okay. Traditional it may be, nuanced it still is, right? The first approach I came across while reading Zora Neale Hurston's book, Mules and Men, and that makes sense if you've been around for a while, because I picked up Hurston's book for the folklore, And you know, your girl loves a good story. And then I ended up annotating the second half of the book, where she details her time learning hoodoo under various two heads in New Orleans, right? So I just kind of slid that way. When she was deemed ready to procure her own black cat bone, Hurston herself was initiated under a man named Father Watson. Here's what she wrote of the experience. When several of my jobs had turned out satisfactorily to Father Watson, he said to me, "You will do well, but you need the black cat bone. Sometimes you have to be able to walk invisible. Some things must be done in deep secret. So you have to walk out of the sight of man. First, I had to get ready, even to try this most terrible of experiences, getting the black cat bone. First, we had to wait on the weather. When a big rain started, a new receptacle was set out in the yard. It could not be put out until the rain actually started, for fear the sun might shine in it. The water must be brought inside before the weather ferried off, for the same reason. If lightning shone on it, it was ruined. We finally got the water for the bath, and I had to ask and seek, shut in a room that had been parched by smoke. 24 hours without food, except for a special wine that was fed to me every 4 hours. It did not make me drunk in the accepted sense of the word. I merely seemed to lose my body. My mind seemed very clear. When dark came, we went out to catch a black cat. I must catch him with my own hands. Finding and catching black cats is hard work, unless one has been released for you to find. Then we repaired to a prepared place in the woods and a circle drawn and protected with 9 horseshoes. Then the fire and the pot were made ready, a roomy iron pot with a lid. When the water boiled, I was to toss in the terrified, trembling cat. When he screamed, I was told to curse him. He screamed 3 times, the last time weak and resigned. The lid was clamped down, the fire kept vigorously alive, and at midnight, the lid was lifted. Here was the moment. The bones of the cat must be passed through my mouth until it tasted bitter. Suddenly, the rooster and Mary rushed in close to the pot, and he cried, "Look out! This is liable to kill you. Hold your nerve!" They both looked fearful around the circle. They communicated some unearthly terror to me. Maybe I went off in a trance. Great beast-like creatures thundered up to the circle from all sides. Indescribable noises, sights, feelings. Death was at hand. Seemed unavoidable. I don't know. Many times I have thought and felt, but I always have to say the same thing. I don't know. Before a day, I was home with a small white bone for me to carry. Okay, so let's break it down. First off, Zora was, in her time in New Orleans, she was initiated under many practitioners as she sought to document folk tales, folklore, and folk magic of blacks in the South. Okay. So by the time she's met up with Father Watson, this ain't her first rodeo. Okay. And by the time she went for the black cat bone, she was working under Father Watson by taking on her own clients. I should say. And that tells me that getting the black cat bone is not for the novice. Okay, you have to know some things, seen some things, been around for a while. The steps she took, she had to prepare her mind and spirit with a spiritual bath collected with rainwater that has literally never seen the light of day or even a lightning flash. Okay, and she had to meditate, for lack of a better word, and fast for 24 hours in a smoke-cleansed room, drinking only what will help her mind and spirit seek. Seek what? I don't know. I guess what she was trying to seek was clarity. I guess that's why you seek, so you can find out what you're seeking. I don't know, right? Then she had to go out after dark and chase down an all-black cat. And cousin, even if one was released for her to find, it's still not an easy task. My mom will walk into my home and be like, "So where's Grace?" Right? Meanwhile, my black cat, Gracie, will be curled up in a chair in the corner right next to my mom, right? Like literally sitting right in front of her. And you will not see Grace until she opens her eyes. And when she opens her eyes, all you see are these two green gems staring at you from the depths of the darkness, right? Like it looks like they're floating there. It's creepy. It's eerie. It's beautiful, but it's creepy. And so imagine you're in the woods in the middle of the night, okay? Sun's down, chasing a black cat. That couldn't have been easy. So not only did Hurston have to chase the cat, which is hard enough just trying to get a cat because cats go boneless in a heartbeat if they don't want to be touched. But also Hurston would have to train her eyes to see the goddamn thing because, like I said, black cats, they just straight up disappear. They straight up just disappear into the darkness. Then, after boiling and cursing the damn thing out, you had to be ready for some Lovecraftian eldritch horrors that you've summoned by boiling this cat and have a mind sturdy enough to look death in the face, or I guess ignore death while you're working, which, I mean, explains why for the first time ever, you know, I'm hearing about protection circles and hoodoo. And I'm not talking like the sprinkle some red brick dust around your home. You know, I'm talking like they drew a circle and then lined it with 9 iron horseshoes. You know what I mean? Like, I've never come across anything else like that where you need to have a protection circle, right? Not like that anyway. And you know it's bad. You know it's bad because her mentor, the famed practitioner, Father Watson, also known as the Frizzly Rooster, and his wife, Mary, they bugging out, right? They like, wait, hold on. Before you start, let's just slow down a second, right? Because some shit's about to go down. Like they bugging, right? And all while that is happening, you know, the boiling, the Lovecraftian horrors, death looking at you from between two horseshoes, you have to ignore it. Not go crazy from seeing stuff you're just not supposed to see. That boggled Hurston's mind so much, she said, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I saw. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know. Like her mind, like she couldn't process it, you know? And then you have to put each bone in your mouth, right? Until you taste the bitter one. And why is Hurston doing all of this again? She's doing it so she can move unseen. And at this point, I'm asking myself, so she can go unseen by people like invisible, or so she can go unseen like spiritually? Like if someone were scrying in a glass of water or pull some playing cards to try and figure out who cursed who or who crossed up a client or whatever, like would Hurston's name just not come up? Would they just not be able to figure out that it was her? Like the spirits would, you know, answer the seeker with a shoulder shrug and be like, listen, I ain't get a good look at her face, so I don't know. Listen, if you gotta face eldritch horrors and Daddy Death himself, you better go unseen physically and spiritually, you know, like you doing a lot to just move about unrecognized. So that's how Hurston did it with the Frizzly Rooster and Mary. And make no mistake, she walked away with the black cat bone, right? So I guess she had the power to go about unseen, unrecognized, invisible even, right? But like I said, even though Tradition, hoodoo tradition roots the practice, pun intended. Nuance is the name of the game when moving from practitioner to practitioner, right? No two practitioners are going to do it exactly the same. The basic core principles will be there, but from practitioner to practitioner, it's not going to be the same. So I went searching. I sought, as you do, right, to see what other accounts of the black cat bone are out there. And best place I thought to go, Harry Hyatt, right? So in Harry Hyatt's work, hoodoo, conjuration, witchcraft, and root work, that's that crazy ass collection of tomes I refer to on occasion when I talk about traditional work. There is, in fact, more black cat lore. There's like 20, 25 pages of black cat lore in the first tome. I'm pretty sure if I went through the other ones, like the other two or whatever, or three, I could find more. But I just stayed in the first one. Just so that way I didn't have to face Eldritch Horrors myself. And one informant from Georgia told Hyatt, he said, well, they tell me that you can go out in the woods and get you a black cat, solid black cat, and you kill him. And you boil him till you boil all the meat off the bones. Take to a running branch and pour them bones in the water, and the lucky bone will swim. And the other bones will, that's no good. The bones is no good. They'll stay at the bottom of the water. And you take that bone and bring it on back home. And you say three words, Lord, have mercy. And then you say the Lord's Prayer. Then you take it and you sew it up in your sack and you tote it. You wear it in the right hand of your pocket. And you'll have luck. You'll have the luck of the world any day that you want. So now, according to the informant from Georgia, now we're not boiling the cat alive and cursing it out. No, no. You just catch the cat and you kill it. You take it to a river, right? You catch the cat, you kill it, you boil it till you got nothing but bones. Then you take the bones to the river, and the bone that reaches the surface of the river, that floats, that's the one that you want. So we're not even putting it in our mouth. We're not looking for the bitter bone, right? No, no. You just wait till it floats to the top. Okay, fine. And then he said, he didn't say it's going to let you walk around invisible. He said it'll give you the luck of the world any day that you want, which I interpret to mean like it'll grant you whatever you ask of it. Whatever it is you need to do, whatever luck it is you need to draw to yourself, that bone will do it, right? So another informant from my hometown of Baltimore, okay, they talk about selling themselves to the devil with the black cat bone. And that one goes a little something like this. I give me a black cat. I take this black cat. I put this black cat on alive. I boil this black cat. And whatever bone comes to the top, that's what they say, selling yourself to the devil. All right. I can take that bone, I can take that cat, but I gotta go to a house by myself. And in boiling that cat, I gotta put a top so the cat can boil alive. And I gotta stand examination between the devil and his imps. It'll come a great many things. They come a whole gang of little people in there to dance with me. I've gotta do this in the dark. But when they get in there, they'll bring their own light and they bring their own music and everything. And if I can go through the examination and that cat gets done, the meat boil off the cat bone, the very bone I want, the black cat's bone, is coming to the top. Well, I can get that and tote it. And just as long as I tote it, I can go in your house. I can walk up to you, take money out your pocket, or I can go amongst your storekeeper and go behind the counter and get the money out. They can't see me come out. They may shoot at me and they can't hit me. Nothing, as long as I keep that black cat's bone. Because, you know, I've sold myself to the devil. Okay. Let's break that down. Before, Zora Neale Hurston said, hey, we got to put up a circle with some iron horseshoes and protect ourselves from the things bumping up against the protection circle, right? This cat from Baltimore, cat, why did I say that? This guy from Baltimore, or girl, I don't know. They straight up talking about, yeah, you gotta catch the cat. You gotta boil the cat alive. You know, all of that's remaining the same. Except this time, when the thing's bumping up against, you know, Zora's protection circle, those eldritch horrors, the devil and his imps, when they come, you just gotta be ready to move, right? You gotta stand examination. You have to stand in their presence. You don't gotta do nothing else. You just gotta keep up. They gonna bring music. They gonna bring the lights. You know, they got the DJ spinning. You know, they gonna give you the 1-2 jig. They gonna tell you to drop it like it's hot. You just gotta keep up. And if you pass the examination, right, then you get the black cat bone. And once you get that black cat bone, you move unseen. Literally, the person, you can literally steal money out of somebody's pocket and they will not see you. You can go on somebody's property and they might shoot at you, but they'll never hit you. Now, see, listen, that's a little more concrete, I think, than I just, you know, I got to move around so no human person can see me. Now I know it's a little less like spiritual woo-woo, you know, cards say Coco took it. And more of a like, the cards can say Coco took it, but you'll never see her and you'll never find her. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean? Like, because she got that black cat bone on her at all times, you know, walk around invisible. So we went from protecting ourselves from the things in the dark to legit just dancing with them, embracing it, you know, the things in the dark. And we're back to boiling it. But this time, we're not putting it in our mouth. We're waiting till the bone floats to the top, right? So we've got two different ways to figure out which bone is the right one. Is it the bone that floats to the top and that's the one you want? Or do you have to put the bones in your mouth and taste for the bitter bone, right? So like we've got two different versions of finding the correct bone from a cat, okay? So, you know, you can start to see some through lines here. Got to boil it. Got to get the bone that floats. Be prepared to see the devil and his imps, the eldritch horrors, the, you know, death himself. But this one from Virginia, this informant from Virginia, he zigged when everyone else was zagging. Okay. So this is what they say. The informant from Virginia says, the old people always say, you catch a black cat about midnight and run him around the house 3 times. Cut his tail off and put it under the doorstep. The next night, you run the black cat around the house 3 times, kill the cat and take him to the swamp and bury him. Let him stay there for 3 nights. Then you go back and take the cat and put him in boiling water and the lucky bone of that cat will come to the top at midnight. You have to be there sharp at midnight to get this bone. That's called the good luck bone or a black cat. I hear that about 12 miles from here from some old people that I knew. What? So now it's not enough to boil the cat alive, according from this informant from Virginia. No. Now we have to cut its tail off and put it under the doorstep, run around the house 3 times, wait 3 days after burying it in a swamp. Like, what? You know, like, what? Hold on a second. So then, but he, you know, he heard it from the old people, and the old people be knowing. They know. Okay. So then another VA informant gets even crazier. I didn't think I was going to say that it got crazier than cutting off the tail, burying it in a swamp. I didn't think it was going to get any weirder than that. But no. Another VA informant gets a little crazier and they say, you go in front of a fireplace and take all your clothes off and take a black cat and put him in a pot of boiling hot water alive and turn around 3 times in front of the fireplace. Then take the cat and the hot water, carry him down to a stream, and pour him in the running stream water. Then you've sold yourself to the devil. Okay, so now we're back to selling ourselves to the devil. We're back to, they didn't describe the eldritch horrors, but we're back to that principle, that thought of to get power, you have to sell your soul, right? But then also, like, now we're at the stream naked with a dead wet cat in a pot full of water. <It's> just, what? Right? Like, it gets. There are countless other variations of procuring the black cat bone, each worker weaving in their own style, their own spiritual methodology. Like, are we protecting ourselves from the eldritch horrors? Are we dancing with the eldritch horrors? Are we selling our soul to get this ability? But the basics remain the same, right? You still got to boil the cat. You still got to get the bone. Right, you catch a cat, you boil the cat, you figure out what the correct bone is, right? Whether that's floating to the top, or not just floating to the top of the pot, but floating on top of water, or whether you put it in your mouth for the bitter, to find the bitter bone. It doesn't matter. Each one, each method, it seems, will work because it's being told over and over again, right? But it's the same basics. Whether you want to turn around three times in front of a fireplace with your clothes off, whether you want to bury it in a swamp after chasing around the house three times with no tail, whether you putting up nine horseshoes to protect yourself, all of that's the nuance, but the core tenets of it remain the same. Okay. And just when you thought, okay, Coco can't possibly tell us any more ways to procure the black cat bone so you can walk around invisible, there's more. Although the black cat bone, the lucky bone, is a very hoodoo fetish, okay? It shows up in other cultures. Like, it shows up in magic from other cultures as well. For example, it shows up in the grimoire of Cyprian of Antioch. C-Y-P-R-I-A-N, Cyprian. Is probably what it is. Saint Cyprian of Antioch, which is Portuguese in origin. All right. So, you know, not quite black American, but as black Americans, we had contact with other cultures as our own culture developed in this country. So, you know, it's not weird to think that maybe there was some influence, you know, outside of just the Africanness that we brought with us to this country. Anyway, this is what the grimoire says. It says, cook the body of a black cat in boiling water with white seeds and wood from the willow until the meat is loosened from the bone. Strain the bones in a linen cloth and in front of the mirror, place the bones one by one in your mouth until you find that you have the magic to make yourself become invisible. Keep the bone with the magic property, and if you want to go somewhere without being seen, place the bone in your mouth. Okay. Okay. So are we adding some stuff? Yes. Some seeds and bark from the willow. You're going to need a mirror, right? We're back to putting it in our mouth, and instead of in hoodoo, in most hoodoo accounts, you tote it, meaning like you make a mojo, like you wrap it in flannel or you put it in your pocket, like that kind of thing. Instead of that, in order to walk around unseen, you have to put that bone in your mouth, right? You have to keep it in your mouth to walk around unseen. So some say the black cat bone lore, it comes to hoodoo by this European influence. Others say the influence might be circular, starting in Africa, spreading about Europe, and then from both spaces finding its way into black American folk magic. I'm not gonna lie though, that part doesn't matter to me because regardless of where it came from, the lore and rites associated with the black cat bone is deeply ingrained in our magic. It's one of like I said before, it's one of the most powerful fetishes that can be obtained, procured, created. I don't know, in hoodoo, right? Like in our folk magic system. And child, you just gotta have the stomach to do it, right? So I thought, to recap, I would tell you guys what I wrote in my field journal about how to get yourself a black cat bone when I first started to research, when I first started to look it up. Because I was like, oh man, I kind of, you know how you start and you just kind of want everything. And then it's not until you start looking at the nuance, right, of things that you go, huh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Right. So here's what Coco wrote in her very first field journal. Prepare yourself, mind, body, and spirit. The procurement of a black cat bone is not for the weak, and the undertaking should not be taken lightly. In procuring a black cat bone, you may come against horrors and even death itself. And if you are not prepared, it will be too hard to process at best and drive you crazy at worst. Far away from any place you rest your head, prepare a stock pot big enough to boil a cat and protect the space by decorating the perimeter with iron, be it horseshoes or railroad spikes, 9 total. Once the sun goes down, chase down the blackest cat you can find, not a lick of white on them, and bring them back to the place you've prepared. Place the cat in the water and boil it alive while cussing it out. Once the cat has died, place a lid on the pot and let the cat cook till all the meat comes off the bone, like pulled pork or smoked wings in your greens. Then, test the bone to make sure you have the correct one. The bone should float and it should taste bitter on your tongue. When you put the bone in your mouth and you stand in front of a mirror, you should disappear. To go unseen, keep the bone in your mouth while you complete your work, or place it in a flannel and keep it in your right pocket. I'll never know which one is the best protocol because I'm never going to have the guts necessary to pay the price attached to getting this goddamn bone. Or work under an old two-head who has a bone and pray you prove yourself worthy enough to inherit it. Okay. So, you've reached that part of the podcast where I go on the interwebs and I find questions, comments, discussions, and I try my best to add to the conversation or answer a question. I've got only one today, one or two. Let's see. Oh, I've got two. My first one, both of them come from Facebook, different hoodoo boards. The first one says, does anyone else here make black cat oil? What are your favorite ingredients? Okay. So, this whole time I'm talking about the black cat bone as a fetish, but across like, hoodoo, like when it's become more commercialized, you start to get things like black cat oil, black cat candles, you know, that kind of stuff. And, like just black cat spiritual supplies. And those supplies are very popular with gamblers, right? Or if you're trying to reverse bad luck on yourself, you use black cat stuff. I have never tried to make my own black cat oil. Like I've never done it. I'm looking at my field notes and I looks like I started, but like I never finished. I moved on to something else, which happens. And it looks like I was going to use like actual fur from my cat, right? Like actual fur from my black cat in my oil, which I don't think is weird. And I'll never know if that's a good idea because like I said, never finished. Right? Like I honestly think that's probably the one oil I would just go ahead and get from someone else. I wouldn't try to make it. I think I was just so put off by what has to be done to get the bone that, and like how powerful the black cat bone is itself. And I am a, you know, and I'm not a gambler. So like the idea of like a softer version with a candle or oil just didn't appeal to me. let's see. I jotted down notes like, use black cat fur, use myrrh, use, bay laurel, use lone stone, dust. I had all sorts of, I don't know, I was brainstorming. I have no idea how to make black cat oil, but I can tell you that it's like a much tamer version of whatever you think a black cat bone can do. If you are going to find black cat oil or use a black cat candle and you think you're going to get the same results as a black cat bone, you are mistaken. you may see an eldritch horse with black cat oil. Okay. You're not dancing with the devil with a black cat candle. It's not the same. But you do use it to in gambling or to reverse bad luck. And personally, like I said, I had like a formula that I was going to try, but I just never did. So personally, I would probably just go out and find a practitioner I trust and use their black cat oil. I do have a removal oil though that I use, and that works pretty well for me. That might be why I just never went back to the black cat oil. Okay. Next one. Yo, I held on to this. This has been in a document for almost 4 or 5 months now. It says, hoodoo is cleaner than both voodoo and necromancy. Cleaner as in less debt to pay to the spirit world in exchange for actions. Hoodoo is not voodoo. Hoodoo is not necromancy. Hoodoo is not hemomancy. What do y'all think? Okay. All right. What do I think? So listen, hoodoo ain't clean. I am not a voodoo practitioner. So, and I know nothing. I know nothing besides the basics. So I can't compare the two of hoodoo and voodoo, but I can say that this idea that there's less of a debt to pay to the spirit world. I don't think that's true. It's a different debt, maybe. How you pay might be different, but I don't think it's less. Cause like, I just went to a conference called Sacred Space, and there was a hoodoo doctor there, and she gave a talk. I'm not going to tell you everything she said, because it's her talk and she's making money off of it. I ain't trying to poach, you know, any of that. But basically, she was talking about the man in black at the crossroads, and that, you know, how people across time in hoodoo have worked up the nerve to sell their soul. Now, when I was talking about the devil in hoodoo, I always, by the folklore, by all that, I always interpreted it like a helpful spirit of the crossroads, right? Like, so it's a spirit of the crossroad that has the ability to offer you anything you ask for, has an ability to show you the wonders of the world, seen and unseen. You just have to like sell yourself, dedicate yourself to it. But she was talking about how, you know, early black Americans in a very Christian context would not see it that way. And I understand, like, I get it. I wasn't looking at it through a Christian lens, because I'm not, right? But she was talking about, like, you know, early black Americans would have seen it through a Christian context. And so, you know, they are enslaved. They own nothing. They have nothing. The only thing they own is their soul. That's the only thing that's theirs that cannot be taken, you know, by a white guy in the house with a whip, right? It's the only thing. So it's a desperate move, and to sell your soul to the devil or the man in black at the crossroads would mean that you are giving up the only thing you have left, and you are forsaking your ability to see, to get into heaven. Like, right. So you're worried about right now, fame, fortune, freedom right now. And in exchange, you're going to go to hell, right? Like you've sold your soul to the actual Christian devil, right? And in that context, is it less of a debt than anything else? Any other ATR? You know what I mean? Like, even with this black cat bone, twice now, we've read that in order to procure the power of the black cat bone, it's not enough to just boil it and, you know, find the bit of bone, find the one that floats. In doing this, you are selling your soul, right, to the devil. You are putting yourself in front of death, right? I mean, I wouldn't say that's cleaner. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't say that's less of a debt at all. At all. You know, I wouldn't say that at all. And then in turn, like, spirit contracts in general, it doesn't matter whether it's in hoodoo or something else, you have to pay what you said you were going to pay, right? It's a contract. So you said to the spirit, do this for me and I'll do this for you, right? And if you don't do that, if you don't hold up your end of the bargain, you run the risk that you run the risk of crossing yourself up in a way that you cannot uncross, right? Or that it'll take a long, long time to uncross yourself. So I don't know. I would say it's cleaner. It's definitely, I would probably different, a different way to look at it. But anytime you're dealing with spiritual contracts, anytime you're dealing with, I don't know, you start talking about selling your soul, I don't think you should take that lightly. And I wouldn't say it's less of a debt, right? Like right now, my ancestors, I'm lighting incense, I'm reading a psalm, I'm putting water there, I'm honoring them, I'm venerating them. You know, yeah, I guess that would be, if I stopped doing that tomorrow, it would be a little less risky, right? Than if I stopped doing that for a little while, I guess, right? Or if I stopped, or if I came up short on my end of a bargain with another spirit. But like in hoodoo, the thing you can sell, right, the highest price you can set is and bargain for is for your soul. So it's definitely not less. It's just different. Okay, if you made it this far, you've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much, cousin, for staying with me as long as you have. I 100% appreciate it. Before we get out of here, though, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. And on your quest to have the world in your hands, there are going to be some things you come across that have a high price that will require you to really sit down and think to yourself, is this how I want to procure what I deserve? Right? Is this how I want to go after what I want? That's always the question. Okay. Am I willing to pay the price? And know that whether you are just trying to, you know, get over, under, and through, or if you are trying to seek the powers of invisibility, if you call for your blessings, cousin, they will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.